Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing topics in higher education, research, student life, and today, food insecurity. It's part of our partnership with KWBU-FM, airing each Friday morning at 11 and available online at baylor.edu/connections. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Jeremy Everett. Jeremy is the founder and executive director of the Texas Hunger Initiative at Baylor University. Texas Hunger Initiative was founded in 2009 in the Baylor School of Social Work, now the Diana R. Garland School of Social Work, with the goal of eradicating food insecurity in the state of Texas. In the 9 years since its founding, Texas Hunger Initiative has been recognized by state and national government leaders, school districts, corporations, and more as a leader and innovator in the fight against hunger. Everett has served on the U.S. Congress National Commission on Hunger and the Baptist World Alliance's Commission on Social and Economic Justice. He's helped oversee the expansion of Texas Hunger Initiative to field offices in 7 other cities across the state of Texas, and he's with us today here on Baylor Connections. Jeremy, it's good to have you here. Thanks for coming on the program.
It's great to be with you.
You know, it's fun to look back at a busy, almost first decade. Looking
That's
forward
right.
to talking to you about that and moving forward to what's next as you look in the next decade as the show goes on.
Yeah, it's been an exciting decade. We've grown more than I ever would have imagined.
First time I interviewed you, it was in the parking garage. It was in a That's little right. office in a parking garage, and now we're talking about 8 different Texas cities and exciting expansion. Yeah. So let's start off here with a picture of food insecurity. It's what you've really dedicated your resources in your life to fighting. Paint a picture of that, if you would. What does that look like in our communities, not just in terms of numbers, although numbers are important too, but what does that look like in Waco and our Texas communities?
Yeah, typically, I think our idea of hunger is probably something that we would see on TV that's happening in Africa somewhere. But the reality of hunger in the United States is hunger is predominantly episodic, meaning that people don't make enough money to make it to the end of the month. And so what they're trying to identify is what do they choose to pay for each month? So they're forced to make trade-offs. They decide, am I going to pay for rent? Am I going to pay for my car payment? Am I going to pay for medication? Am I going to pay for food? You know, what am I going to pay for? Because they don't have enough to get through each month. And so often what people do is they choose to not purchase food. Because if you don't purchase food, you don't get kicked out of your house or your car doesn't get repossessed. You know, your medications, you might be able to afford most of your medications in those kind of situations. I was reminded of one of my neighbors that lived next door to me in some of our – when we lived in San Antonio before we moved back to Waco. And a woman's name was Josie. Josie would get up every morning about 5 a.m. and catch a bus for – individuals with disabilities. She was legally blind, and she would commute every morning to the Lighthouse for the Blind, where she would work all day. By the time the city bus got her back home, it was about 6 or 7 at night. On the weekends, she would take her little walking cane and make her way down to the end of our street, where we had a couple of restaurants that would allow her to come in and clean the floors and make a little bit of extra cash. But Josie, to me, is emblematic of people in poverty. On average, people in the United States that are in poverty work 1.3 full-time jobs. So they're piecing together a bunch of oftentimes minimum wage jobs just to try to make ends meet. But when they can't, they're forced to make trade-offs. So in the United States right now, we have about 41 million Americans that are considered food insecure. Food insecurity basically means that they don't have enough food to live an active, healthy lifestyle. Oftentimes, people will use the term hunger interchangeably with that, but really, food insecurity is a technical term that we would use. In Texas, it's about 1 in 4 children and about 1 in 6 senior adults that experience food insecurity. So it certainly affects more Americans than I think we realize.
So in Texas, 1 in 4 children and 1 in 6 adults face food insecurity. Yep. When you started Texas Hunger Initiative, your goal was to eradicate that.
Yeah.
That's a big goal.
Yeah.
Where did you begin back then? How do you take a topic, a problem as big as that, and start?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, when I was in San Antonio, one of the things that I began to realize, we started a little social enterprise. We could hire people from the neighborhood where I was working, and we hired about a dozen people, and we were able to get another business to relocate to the neighborhood where we were, and that offered another 50 or so jobs. But I realized pretty quickly, in a neighborhood of 150,000 low-income residents, that I was not going to employ us out of poverty. Mm-hmm. That was my theology degree at Truett was good for a lot of things, but not necessarily for that. But if you see hunger or you see poverty anywhere in the United States, for the most part, it looks very similar. But oftentimes we try to address poverty issues purely as a local issue. And so I tell our team all the time, when you do that, that's like trying to address internal bleeding with a topical cream. You really have to work on a local, state, and federal level at the same time if you want to comprehensively address systemic issues like hunger and poverty. So what we did, we also began to look at all the great organizations that were doing something about it. We had over 4,000 organizations in Texas doing something about hunger. Yet at the time when we kicked off our work, we had 5.5 million people that were food insecure in our state. So we recognized that no one organization, no one sector had the capacity to end hunger by themselves. So for us, it began to be a process of how do we organize people on a local, state, and federal level, and how do we organize all these different sectors that are doing great work in this space to work collaboratively together. And so we just cast a vision, and we would literally go around the state doing town halls in every places, from, you know, places from churches and schools to bars, you name it, and just to get people compelled to wanting to love their neighbors themselves, and an articulation of that being to feed the hungry.
Is that the way you are organized in terms of trying to bring all these disparate organizations together? Is that something that's unique about Texas Hunger Initiative, maybe as opposed to other organizations that address food insecurity?
It is to a degree. We do have some sister organizations now that are working in a similar context around the country. But when we kicked off our work, it was largely based on a disaster relief model. During Hurricane Katrina, I was managing medical special needs shelters. And if y'all remember Hurricane Katrina, the response to that was a disaster about as equal to the hurricane itself. When you fast forward to Hurricanes Gustav and Ike, our response was just completely different because churches and the government and the corporate sector all spoke the same language and all had a game plan to get people back home and connected to their family members that may have been split up and that was the plan from the beginning. So we took that model and we adapted it. And we said, hey, if we can do this in a short-term capacity for disasters, then certainly we can do this for some of these long-term issues like hunger. And so that's how we began to organize the system.
What does that look like in real life? I know you have a lot of partnerships mm-hmm. with state government, national government, with churches, with private organizations. Seems like any organization, as you described earlier, that has a capacity to help in some way, you all have talked to. What does it look like? You talk about casting the vision, making that vision a reality as best you can.
That's a great question. I'll give you two different examples. One is a local community. When we kicked off our work, we had 7 pilot communities, and the West Texas community of San Angelo was not one of them. But 2 women from Southland Baptist Church called me and said, Jeremy, we had several manufacturing plants just close in our community, and we know hunger among our children is just skyrocketing. So we would like to be a pilot community for the Texas Hunger Initiative. This is still when I officed in the parking garage over there in the School of Social Work back when. And I told the women, I said, you know, unfortunately, you know, we didn't have very many staff at that time. And I said, so you know, call us in a year and maybe we'll be staffed up and we can try to support San Angelo being a pilot community. But if you've ever met people from San Angelo, they don't take no easily. And these women would not get off the phone. And so ultimately, I came up with some kind of an ad hoc community assessment to go just to get them off the phone. And I thought that'd be the last I'd hear from them for a while. But 3 weeks later, they called me. They'd completed the community assessment. They knew exactly what needed to be done in the community. They had the congressman's office, the mayor's office, the city council, the school district, the nonprofits and churches all lined up ready to go. And so they asked, you know, well, so can we be a pilot community now? And I just laughed and I said, I think you already are. So we went and spent time, myself, USDA, a number of colleagues in the food and anti-hunger industry went and met with them. And they identified that though they had almost 8,000 children on their free introduced lunch program, they didn't have anybody serving meals to kids during the summer months. So they knew that their kids were going hungry. So the community organized around feeding children in the summer. And in that first After just a few months of planning, that first summer, they served over 20,000 meals to kids. So we've taken models like that and we scale them. And we try to figure out how can we take a model like this and make it replicable around the state and around the country. Another example is what we call the Community Partner Recruitment Initiative. So as you can imagine, we have a lot of different federal benefits that come from the United States Department of Agriculture into local communities. Sometimes communities know about them, sometimes that they don't. They don't. And you can imagine the amount of bureaucratic spending that goes along with that. One of the things that we identified is that community-based organizations, like say, you know, Mission Waco or Meals on Wheels here locally, people that take jobs there have a sense of mission and purpose to care about the whole person. And so they don't want to just make sure that somebody's signed up for a federal benefit. They want to make sure that their children are well taken care of. They want to make sure that families are on the path towards economic opportunity. So they want to get them job training if they need it, or if they need to get a GED, they want to make sure that they have a GED or citizenship classes. Whatever it is that family needs that is a barrier to success, organizations like Mission Waco and Meals on Wheels and Caritas and organizations like them across the state, that's our first line of defense. And so what we want to do is work alongside the state to empower these community-based organizations to play the role the state used to play. And so we created this community partner program with the state of Texas and recruited and trained 1,400 community-based organizations to be the primary access point for people around the state. And that put an additional couple billion dollars worth of resources into the food sector economy through programs like Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And it saved the state $500 million in bureaucratic spending because you had community-based organizations doing this great work. So that's the kind of stuff that we look for opportunity to build that public and private partnership.
That's infrastructure. Fantastic.
Yeah.
We're talking to Jeremy Everett, Executive Director and Founder of the Texas Hunger Initiative at Baylor. Well, talking about those partnerships, that might be one of the answers to this question. But as you look back at the first decade, what have been, in your mind, maybe the most meaningful steps or things that have taken place that you're most proud of?
Yeah, well, you know, being a Baylor University project, that differentiates us from a lot of the partners that we work with. And having researchers and faculty members and students that want to engage our work, I think that really enriches our experience. One of the things I love is that the students that come and work with us and take our courses and do research with us, we know that in two decades, they're going to be doing better work than we ever dreamed of. They're going to need to be disruptive innovators, and they're going to need to disrupt the systems that we build in a couple of decades to do great things. But one of the most meaningful projects I can remember is so Jeff Tanner was an assistant dean at the business school, and about a dozen or so of his business school faculty were on a big research grant that we had. And we were looking at how we developed business models to run programs like the after-school meal program and the summer meal program around the state and keep organizations we want to keep organizations in the black. So you think about a lot of nonprofit organizations or school districts, they may not have people with MBAs or certainly PhDs, you know, that are developing business models for them. And so we had this team of researchers, and they would travel around with us to help us develop business models, one of which was in Anthony, Texas. Anthony ISD is west of El Paso and still in Texas, if you believe it. And it is just this dusty little West Texas area, but with rampant poverty. And so Jesus was the nutrition director at Anthony ISD, and he wanted to do a bang-up job of serving meals to kids. So Jeff Tanner and his research team partnered with Jesus, and Jesus hired 50 of his high school kids, and he broke them into two groups. And the groups the first group would come in the morning and make meals for lunch, and then they would load them all up in pairs on a school bus. And each group would have a cooler full of food. And Jeff and his logistics team figured out the most cost-effective way to serve every kid in that area of Texas two meals a day during the summer when they're out of school, and to employ these high school kids as a way to complete the circle. So you're employing people in poverty to serve people in poverty. Well, Jesus would the way that they did is they would take these pairs and they'd drop them off in a location. And by the time they dropped all the pairs off in the bus, it was time to pick up the original pair that they dropped off. So everybody had about 2 hours to serve, you know, parks and community rec centers and baseball fields where kids were playing and soccer fields and so forth. And Jesus ended up serving 4,000 children every day a meal because of Jeff Tanner and his students and his faculty members' research. And so that to me is one of the most enriching experiences I had. There was a point of pride, you know, seeing Baylor University out there and Anthony serving meals to kids in a way that was transformative.
You're an initiative, but in a way you're almost a laboratory, and that's got to be exciting in some ways because you can try things that maybe you couldn't in other situations.
That's right. We have 39 faculty research fellows now that are affiliated with THI. We've always had a research team, but now having all these faculty members, and they're in disciplines from you name it, whether they be in nutrition or economists, the top physician in the food security space who works on hunger as a health issue is one of our faculty researchers, and so they're able to sometimes concoct some crazy ideas, but oftentimes they're walking alongside us, evaluating what our field staff are doing in real time, so that we can tweak and change whatever's happening on the local level to maximize effectiveness. And then identifying what we can scale in other states. So it is very much a laboratory, and being able to work with such a brilliant group of people has been a real joy.
Talking to Jeremy Everett of the Texas Hunger Initiative, and I want to switch gears a little bit. You've talked about schools a lot and lunches, breakfasts that are passed out at school. In 2013, so about 5 years ago now, the state passed what's become kind of known as the Universal Breakfast Bill. Yeah. What's that bill's impact been, and did the Texas Hunger Initiative have a role in that?
Yeah. We had a leadership role in the passage of that legislation and the crafting of that legislation, with several of our anti-hunger partners, like the food banks here in Texas and the Christian Life Commission, which gave Baylor its first grant to be able to start the Texas Hunger Initiative. So that was really enjoyable, and Children at Risk, another great organization that's based out of Houston. The real champions of the legislation, though, were these elementary age kids from a bunch of schools in the Austin area that called themselves the Hunger Warriors. Mm-hmm. And so they literally, we had a rally on the front steps of the Capitol in Austin, and these little children each got up and they spoke, and just hundreds of them, and then they'd get up and speak and tell why this bill was important to them. And so the bill has been fantastic. It increased breakfast participation for children in Texas by 300 million meals in one academic year alone.
Wow.
So that's why you work on a policy level, because of the ramifications that it can have.
Talking to Jeremy Everett. And Jeremy, we are actually winding down on the program here. I feel like there's still a lot we could talk about. No one asks you as we talk about schools. Recently, you released the annual Texas School Breakfast Report Card. Is that sort of a extension of that, measuring the impact?
Sure. You know, one of the roles that we play with Texas Department of Agriculture is to measure all of our childhood nutrition programs. And so that's one that we certainly have been measuring. If you look at our breakfast report card, you're able to identify what the free and reduced lunch rate is by school and by school district for every school district in the state of Texas. What percentage of those children have access to breakfast or after-school meals. And that really becomes an indicator for us to know where we need to prioritize our organizing efforts.
Jim, we talked about the fact that Texas Hunger Initiative's goal is to create a model that can be replicated elsewhere. What does that look like across the country and other states? And we cast a vision for what that might look like in the future, even here in Waco further.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One, we've now worked with about 25 states to date. USDA is our primary federal partner, and so oftentimes what they'll do is their regional offices will identify states that are ready to build public and private infrastructure. And so then they will call in myself, or they'll call in experts from our team to go in and provide some consulting to different states and different components of their work, so that they can expand public and private partnerships, which we know have been very cost-effective and also reduced hunger. We also opened up a full-scale model in Oklahoma, so just north of the Red River. We've started Hunger Free Oklahoma. It's now been in existence for a couple of years, and they are doing phenomenal things. In fact, they're doing such good work, I've told them to slow it down, because they're going to pass us up if they can continue to make the progress that they're making. But all this has really kind of lent itself to we realize that there's no one location anywhere in the country where organizations can come and learn how to administer USDA programs or how to best utilize the private sector or the nonprofit sector or work with congregations. There's no hunger brick, if you will. So we're all familiar with the Baylor Research Innovation Collaborative here in Waco, and the brick is such an awesome thing for the sciences and engineering. And so we're embarking on the process of creating our version of the brick that will address hunger
That's
and poverty here.
And
we'll be able to disseminate knowledge and teach other communities how to do the same kind of thing elsewhere. So we're really excited about what that's going to look like for the next decade.
We've talked about a little bit about this first almost decade now, 9 years going on, 10 next year. You'll be celebrating your 10th anniversary. What will that benchmark mean to Texas Hunger Initiative?
Well, it'll mean a lot. We have about 75 people that are working with us in some form or capacity, whether they're field staff or faculty or graduate students. And so to see that kind of growth over the past decade has blown my mind. To see the kind of financial partners that have rallied to this cause to be able to make those kinds of projects readily available in communities has been a real pleasure to be able to be a part of. The team that we work with is some of the sharpest people I know, much less colleagues in the industry. So, but most importantly, you know, in addition to the research that's been published or the book chapters or anything like that, most importantly, you know, we're seeing an additional 100 million meals annually for children alone in Texas, not to mention adults and senior adults. And that to me is why we got into this work. I tell our staff all the time, if you're going to get into hunger and poverty work, you get into it to end it. And now, it likely is going to take us a lifetime to do so. William Wilberforce, who was credited for ending the British slave trade, committed his whole life to the cause of ending the British slave trade, and legislation was passed 3 days before he died. And so anytime you're tackling one of these major social issues, many of which that have been around for the history of humanity, it is a lifetime commitment. But what more worthy commitment, you know, could we possibly make as people who are called to love our neighbors ourselves?
Well, Jeremy Everett, I wish we had more time. We'll have to have you again later on as maybe celebrating the 10th anniversary and talk a little bit more. Thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Jeremy Everett, founder and executive director of the Texas Hunger Initiative, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us. A reminder, you can hear Baylor Connections each week on KWBU-FM. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or find this and other episodes online archived at baylor.edu/connections.